Tap.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Republicans have nominated another House Speaker, their fourth one in recent weeks. CBS's Nicole Killian.
House Republicans worked late into the night to find another Speaker. Louisiana Congressman Mike Johnson is the latest candidate to emerge as Speaker designate. He garnered 128 votes in a secret ballot, although more than 30 lawmakers voted for other candidates, including former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
Another vote was needed because House Majority Whip Tom Emmer withdrew his nomination earlier today. Richard Roundtree, a trailblazing black actor who played the private eye John Shaft in the Shaft films of the 70s, has died. His rep, Patrick McMinn, says Roundtree died at his L.A. home of pancreatic cancer. Syracuse University pop culture professor Richard Thompson says the 81-year-old wasn't just known for Shaft.
From being a contestant on Hollywood Squares to being on Love Boat and Chips and Magnum P.I., but of course also more heady stuff. He was a character in Roots, for example.
Israeli troops are stationed along the border with Gaza ahead of an anticipated ground invasion. CBS's Tony DeCoppo.
Hamas has built an extensive underground network it can use to launch attacks. But when we asked the lieutenant colonel about his biggest fears and worries, his answer surprised us.
I think the major concern for most of the soldiers is that we're going to have to stop in one point of time.
The major concern is having to stop? I don't understand.
We're going to have an order that the war ends and we didn't finish our mission.
Joseph Emerson, the off-duty pilot who is accused of trying to shut down the engines on a Horizon plane mid-flight, is facing multiple counts of attempted murder in Oregon. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Emerson pleaded not guilty to all charges, but will remain behind bars at least for now. Alaska says he showed no visible signs of impairment before boarding that Sunday night flight and had passed all of his FAA-required medical certifications throughout his more than 20-year pilot career, and that includes regular evaluations for mental health.
Court documents say Emerson told police he had been struggling with depression and had taken psychedelic mushrooms 2 days earlier. Areas of the Pacific Northwest, Northern Rockies, and Northern Plains are in for their first major snowfall of the season. Justin Powell manages a suddenly busy tire store in Great Falls, Montana.
A lot of folks calling in, make sure they're getting their snow tires on early and trying to make sure that they're able to get snow tires if they don't already have some.
Former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen testifies in former President Trump's New York business fraud trial. Cohen says the former president instructed him to increase financial asset values. Trump says Cohen is a proven liar and a felon. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Hi, we're the
Goo Goo
Dolls.
We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day.
Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin on this Tuesday, October 24th. Greg Bach is on the board. I'm joined in studio by Dominic Salvia. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, Jane. Always a pleasure to join you on the radio.
Great to have you in. You're going to be doing double duty with Devil's Advocates later on this afternoon from 4 to 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Lots of things coming up this morning. We're going to be recombobulating with Dan Schaefer at 10:30. Dan is a huge Bucks fan. I'm sure he's going to want to talk about, oh, this little extension thing that dropped about Giannis Antetokounmpo, which is really good news.
That's great news. Yeah, I mean, preseason just got done. The real season starts, what, tomorrow? Thursday.
Thursday.
So great timing.
Yeah, definitely. But first, I just want to start off with, there was a shooting last night at Kennedy Middle School in Germantown. The gunman was shot and killed. They got reports about 6:30 yesterday of a person acting erratically in the parking lot of the school. The person then got onto the roof, and two officers pursued on foot. The suspect then shot at the officers on the roof. They returned fire, and the suspect sustained injuries. He died at the scene. So we don't know many more details about this gunman at this time. There were, even though this was last evening, there were about 50 to 70 students inside the school, but they were all reunited with their parents at a different elementary school in Germantown. No other injuries. No one else was hurt. Kennedy Middle School, along with the rest of the Germantown School District, they will have the day off today. So just wanted to give an update about that. Again, we don't know very much about this gunman. And that's the term I use. I don't like calling them shooters. I think it's inaccurate. And I think it makes it sound like a video game. He used a gun. He used a gun. He's a gunman.
Terrible.
So, yes. And then again, fortunately, no one else was hurt. And I'm sure we will learn more about this probably by tomorrow when more details come out. We wanted to start, though. There's a bill being considered, Dominic, called the Sore Loser Bill. And what that means is that candidates who lose a partisan primary in Wisconsin would not be allowed to mount a write-in campaign during the general election. So write-in campaigns don't happen a lot in Wisconsin, but still, some candidates do attempt that. In fact, Dominic, strangely enough, in the 2022 general, there were 2 write-in campaigns targeting Republican lawmakers.
For not being MAGA enough.
Apparently so. So the biggest case that comes to mind is when political newcomer Adam Steen, endorsed by the former president, came within just 300 votes.
So close.
Of defeating the popcorn king himself, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Steen and his supporters, this is from WPR, hoping to remove him because he did not support decertifying the 2020 election, which, by the way, election experts say you can't do that.
So we want it done anyway.
Yeah.
We're mega.
Just do it. Just do what I want. Do what I say. So after he lost in the primary, Steen launched a write-in campaign as a Republican. He did grab about 2,100 votes from Voss in the fall general. Democrat Joel Jacobson also ran a write-in and got about 3,500 votes. Robin Voss obviously still won with 16,977 votes, almost 73% of the total.
All right, so Adam Steen ran against Voss in the primary, came within 300 votes.
Yes.
Then ran again in the general as an independent and got stopped.
And got stopped.
So Voss, apparently concerned about this for the future, decides that this is something they want to pursue. I mean, obviously the electorate rejected Adam Steen.
Not by much.
Well, not in the primary.
Not in the primary.
Not in the, right. But certainly in the general.
Well, and it obviously made some people nervous that you can continue on with as a write-in candidate. The bill does have one Democratic co-sponsor, Representative Sylvia Ortiz-Velez of Milwaukee. She did not comment in this article in WPR. But it just to me is so indicative of Wisconsin Republicans. If things don't go our way, we're just going to change the rules.
Do you think they get the, I'll call it irony, maybe hypocrisy, given the fact that many of the megas are sore losers, and they're the ones saying falsely that this election was stolen and yada, yada, yada. Hell, 7 of the 9 Republicans running for the U.S. House of Representatives, Speaker of the House, voted to not certify the 2020 election. Right. I mean, talk about sore losers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they know all about it. I'm not surprised the Republicans brought forth this bill.
It doesn't surprise me either. It really doesn't.
If there's an expert on sore losers, it's the megas.
They know personally. And I don't think they have a definition of hypocrisy. I don't think they get it.
They don't understand hypocrisy, irony, satire. And I'm not being funny either. They do not understand it.
I think you need to have shame in order to get any of those things, or at least some of them. You know, and there's very little shame in that party.
Oh, absolutely. They embrace it.
They embrace the lack of shame.
You
pack it into a little ball, yeah, and you shove it down your throat. You keep it way, way down there, and you coat it over with lots of booze and liquor, and it's all good. No shame.
No shame.
No shame.
A life without shame, what a great way to go through life.
Isn't it, though?
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. This just makes me laugh. It does. And, it would have to go to Governor Evers, right, to get signed into law.
Yeah.
Where do you think he would come down on this?
I don't know if he'll veto it. It's not at this point, not a sexy enough bill, but I could see him just rolling those Oplander eyes hard and going, I guess.
I'll give him one.
Yeah.
Let him have it.
But the other side is, I mean, are the Democrats, wanting this? Is this something that, I know that this law is in effect in other states. It's not uncommon that this would happen.
Right.
I guess I get it. But if we look at the examples that WPR points out, Steen and this other guy, after they lost their primary, as close as they were, they got stomped in the general anyway. So, right. I mean, this is something out there to fix a problem that's not really a problem. And are the Dems even down? And who really cares? I mean, if you run, and again, if the other side too, versus a partisan primary versus an open primary, these kinds of things would also perhaps have an effect on that. If that's the case, then what about open primary? I mean,
right.
There's lots of things to talk about in this, not just, well, man, I didn't like Adam Steen coming after me, so this is what we're going to do now. You still won the election.
Dom, why would you expect them to think about this?
And I think you make an excellent point in saying creating a law for a problem that does not exist.
Yeah.
They spend a lot of time on that.
Which we did for voter ID, mm-hmm. which they're doing now for the trans athletes. I mean, like, this is textbook GOP, like, scare people and then say, we're going to take care of this, when really there was never a scare in the first place.
Yeah, when it actually wasn't that big of a problem. We are talking about a proposed bill in Wisconsin that is called the Sore Loser Bill. So candidates who lose partisan primaries in Wisconsin would not be allowed to mount a write-in campaign during the general election. I would call this Don't Challenge the Popcorn King law.
UW Madison political science professor Barry Burden said this. I do wonder if this is coming from Republicans in part because of a concern that there might be candidates who splinter off from the Republican Party if Trump is the nominee next year. He noted, unlike Wisconsin, most states banned losing primary candidates from running in general elections. So if that's the case, all right, so it's not uncommon, as mentioned, but certainly the situation we find ourselves in 2024 with Donald Trump, you know, four times indicted, 91 charges, leading the Republicans, there might be some of those Republicans that decide if Trump's the guy that they're going to, but they still want to serve their community, they still want to do the thing, but they don't want to do it under the mega party. I mean, that could be also, I think it's a great point by Professor Burden.
Definitely. We have a text from the 541. If you watch the TV show Madam Secretary, season two included the sitting president losing the GOP primary and then running as an independent in the general. The candidate had to overcome sore loser laws in order to run as an independent. Also, is it surprising at all that the GOP is proposing the sore loser law that could be used to prevent Trump from running as a write-in?
I mean, that's... Oh, man. Was that smart of them? Oh.
844-967-2789 from the 414. Sore loser bill legislation to keep those who are sore because they almost lost to a primary challenger from being challenged again in the real election. Just more Republican expansion of the vote, obviously. Yes, I'm being sarcastic. That's Jack from Merrimack.
Yeah, that's what the Republicans are
Jack,
known
for. Jack, how you doing,
for.
Buddy?
We love Jack.
Republicans known for expanding the vote.
Oh, yes. They want to make it easier for everyone
for
to cast their ballot.
Hey, you two. You two listen to me right now. Yeah. Brian Schimming is working really hard with Wisconsin GOP to make sure everyone can mail in vote, because that's close to the heart of the Republican Party now.
Which is so priceless. And I keep seeing Youngkin from, is it Virginia or West Virginia? Glenn Youngkin, who is the governor, pushing early voting. Got to bank those votes, people. Got to bank those votes.
I think the damage done by Trump when he encouraged folks not to do that.
Yes.
And claimed that it was fraud. And that's going to cause them damage for some time.
Absolutely. And they pounded that so hard. Drop boxes are evil and easily corrupted.
Let alone, you know, the fact we've used drop boxes in the state for years and wasn't a problem then, and up until a sore loser like Donald Trump realized the headwinds he was facing, given the economic disaster we were in, the way he handled the pandemic, and Trump just generally being Trump. There were some bad times there. So what did they do? Well, he was laying down that seed corn for a long time. And I remember one time specifically talking about, hey, let's get every registered voter, let's mail them the ballot, and you know they can do it if they want.
Right.
Remember, this is a pandemic. People are very concerned. Milwaukee only had two polling places open, for crying out
people
loud.
People waited in line for hours.
My wife and I, they shrunk the polling places down to five, and we waited in line for about an hour and a half. And But here's the great thing, is everyone was on board.
Yeah.
They knew it. Everyone knew what the GOP was trying to do. And they're like, you know what? You're not going to keep us from voting. We'll wait.
Yeah.
We're cool. It's fine.
And a boss out there in a total PPE gear from head to toe, like he's coming to, you know, take out ET. It's totally safe to vote.
All right. We're going to break. 844-967-2789. If you want to call and or text, stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I've changed my mind, I'll open up the doors.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head. The total amount ended up being somewhere just over $30,000. $30,000.
Then the IRS came to collect.
Started getting letter after letter. A lien had been filed against me. They were going to basically like hang me completely out to dry.
He had to do something.
That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
Patrick's life quickly got a lot easier.
It was very easy, pretty much hands off. You know, they picked up the ball and ran with it.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask like two or three times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. They definitely helped me. Optima Tax Relief, the best place to call. They're the best in the business.
Do what Patrick did and call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers, even a thunderstorm in the overnight. We'll see plenty of clouds, 54 degrees by daybreak. South winds developing. Some of the rain will be locally heavy. Early showers for Wednesday will give way to mostly cloudy skies, north winds, and a high of 61. Right now, it's 55.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Andrew of Detroit, you're first. What's on your mind, Andrew?
Hey, Professor, three quick points. Donald Trump is not a Republican. He is MAGA. He is not a Reagan Republican. The MAGA followers going after each other on television, that's not a Ronald Reagan Republican. That was his role. We never fight with each other in public. Secondly, Biden will take care of the military. Biden won't let this country go in default. One way or another, he will not do it. If he has to mint that coin that they talk about, maybe he'll do that. You know, and I had a third point, and I am so riled up. I don't know. Anyway, those 2 points, Matt. Want to hear your thoughts. Have a good day.
Yeah, that's great. I'll respond real quick now, then go to the next caller, and then get into it a little deeper. But no, you're right. I mean, Trump is not a Reagan Republican, an Eisenhower Republican. Trump is in the fascist cult of Trump. That's all he is. And number two, yeah, I think Biden will take care of it. But what Andrew's alluding to is there's an economic theory, which I don't subscribe to. But the one thing the Congress can't stop the president from doing is minting coins. The president could mint a $1 trillion coin, $1 trillion. Now, he's not going to give it to you or me. He'll stick it in a safe. And then he will use that as security. And then he'll spend money based on that. That is technically legal. It looks real weird. I don't think it has a lot of authenticity to it. But what I think Biden would do is, let me very, very be blunt. My dad and two of my uncles fought in the Marines. Dad, one uncle in the Second World War, the other one in the Korean War. One in the Korean War was wounded. I was in the Navy. The guys on these ships and the women on these ships, especially the lower ranking ones, the seaman apprentice, petty officer, third class, corporals, sergeants, that kind of thing, privates, they don't have much money. They frequently are single wage earners and their spouse is at home with a little infant. Now, if you cut off their paychecks while they're trying to face down Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, that is the worst kind of treachery. And that is what Donald Trump is suggesting. That is what these 26 weirdos in the Republican Party are suggesting. I don't know how many of them had military service, but a lot of them didn't.
They don't care. And I asked the question, will they pay for fuel on the aircraft carriers? Will they pay for fuel on the jet planes? Will they pay for food on the mess deck? This is the United States, and we have traitors in our house. We have boll weevils in the cotton, and they've got to be eliminated. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
I just got to run something by you, Matt. I'm going to put a name on this thing besides just chaos. I'm going to refer to this as the new Southern strategy, and here's why. After the Civil War, there were a lot of people in the South that thought, you know, we never should have really went about what we tried to do that way. We should have just tried to take this government down from within and crash it that way, because we had no chance of winning the Civil War. And these guys, after all, they're after the same thing. So I'm going to call it the new Southern strategy. They just want to blow up everything.
Right. That was said by Confederates in the early 1870s. You're absolutely right. And now I am going to read you, and this will chill you, it'll chill your bones, a paragraph written by a guy named Ernst Rudolf Huber about how the Nazis came to power in 1932. And listen to this. Quote, the parliamentary battle of the NSDAP, that's the Nazi party, had the single purpose of destroying the parliamentary system from within through its own methods. It was necessary above all to make formal use of other possibilities of the party state system, but to refuse real cooperation and thereby to render the parliamentary system, which is by nature dependent upon the responsible cooperation of the opposition, incapable of actions. This is a thing he wrote called How the Nazi Party Took Power. Now think about that. It takes advantage by the parliamentary system there. They really mean here would be the congressional Senate system, the House and the Senate. By pretending to go through it, taking votes and doing it, they wreck it from within. As Dick of Madison said, and as the Confederates in the 1870s said after the Civil War, but during Grant's administration, when he sent federal troops back into the South to stop the Ku Klux Klan from murdering African-Americans. They said, and this says in 1932 in Berlin, you should destroy it from within. You're crazy to try to do it militarily. The North couldn't have been beaten. And if they had tried to do it to the German army before Hitler took over, they would have been beaten. So they work from within. They make, quote, formal use of the possibilities of the party state system, but to refuse real cooperation. So now this guy Emmer is about as conservative as you can get. And they're sticking him. They go, well, but he voted to fund the government. Well, yeah. He voted to raise the debt limit. Well, yeah. Otherwise, we would have defaulted on our bonds. He voted to certify the winner of the election. Well, yeah. You see what's going on. And we don't have a lot of time. We're going to a break, but I'll tell you right after the break what I think the solution is going to be or has to be. It has to be involvement of the Democratic members of Congress to put Tom Emmer in the speakership. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
And the palm trees of Venice, blood in my love in the terrible summer, bloody red sun of fantastic LA. Blood speeds the brain to chop off the fingers. Blood will be born in the birth of a nation. Blood is the rose of mysterious
CBS News Brief. Just hours after House Republicans nominated Congressman Tom Emmer for Speaker, he withdrew from the race, says CBS's Nicole Killian.
He garnered 128 votes in a secret ballot, although more than 30 lawmakers voted for other candidates, including former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
Actor Richard Roundtree has died. He was best known for his starring role in the Shaft movies.
Don't jive me.
put in a lot of street time together.
Yeah, well, that was a long time back. I don't know you no more.
A lot of hard years, man. Kind you don't forget.
Roundtree died of pancreatic cancer. He was 81. There's increasing pressure on world leaders to persuade Hamas to release its hostages. Moran Aloni's family was kidnapped.
It has been 18 days and 10 hours since I last heard from my sister Sharon, when her last text message was, "Help, we're dying."
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Joe and Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Joe?
Well, I need help with a couple of phrases. I was reading from an article from the newrepublic.com that was saying the Democrats do have a way in to get Hakeem Jeffries in without making concessions to the Republicans if they can get some of the Republicans who, for example, there are 18 of them that Republicans who represent districts in which Biden won. Maybe they could take the heat of switching over to vote for Jeffries. There's also four of them who have said that they are going to retire. Maybe they would be willing to take the heat of voting for Jeffries to keep government going. One doesn't know. However, it's the math of 217. So it's five that have to make the switch over. But in the course of making this description of how this could possibly happen by cajoling some Republicans to vote for Jeffries, they mentioned that even if this were to happen, if Jeffries were to get into this, that the GOP majority can enter motions to vote vacate, a tool which they would use again and again as a means to grind any legislative business. Can you talk about this a little bit, Matt? I'm not as smart about what a motion to vacate would mean if you got a majority party that's essentially got a minority Speaker of the House. I know this is hugely speculative, but for just a moment, if you could take a second to look at that, I would be most grateful. Thanks, Matt.
Sure. Yeah, let's hit that right now. It's a very good point. I would love to see Hakeem Jeffries be the Speaker, but I don't think that is going to happen. And I also think that there's a more realistic way to get to where we want to be. But here's what they're talking about. First of all, a motion to vacate the chair historically had required some substantial number of people in the House. You don't want some idiot raising his hand every time there's a new chair and demanding new votes. Matt Gaetz and those people demanded that Kevin McCarthy change the House rules. And it changed over the years, but it might be 25% of the House, 10% of the House, you know, X number of people. And he had to agree to get their support that one person could vacate the chair. One person. Could be George Santos, could be Matt Gaetz, it could be Marjorie Taylor Greene. So he agreed, and then that's what Matt Gaetz did. He did it to Kevin McCarthy. He did it to Kevin McCarthy because McCarthy had the temerity to fund the government. Now, when that happened, those eight Trump cultists ganged up because it's such a small margin, and they basically threw McCarthy out of the chair. What The Atlantic or whatever magazine you were reading was alluding to was that let's say we got the four retiring Republicans to vote for Hakeem Jeffries and one other in a very, very blue district that he won by accident. The minute we did that, as long as there's the one person, one member rule, Matt Gaetz would raise his hand and demand another vote, and they keep voting until, frankly, you didn't have a chair. No one got paid because they didn't have any motions for money on the floor. And you would the first thing they've got to do is change it back from one member to, say, 25% of the House or 30% of the House. It has to be substantial. But if they have the majority, they'd do that in a heartbeat. You'd probably get 150 or 200 Republicans moving to vacate the chair if Hakeem Jeffries is in it. So while I love it and it's kind of a dream, it's kind of a pleasant dream as you fall asleep, I do not think it's going to happen. What I think, and I'll go to the next caller in a second, but what I think has got to happen is that if Emmer has already voted to fund the government, to increase the debt limit, to certify Joe Biden, and to codify same-sex marriage, I think the time has come to stop further probing, because the thing that would concern me more than anything is aid to Israel and aid to Ukraine. And if he'll do that, and I assume he would, I think what you do is you go to the floor and he gets 200 votes instead of 217. Of the 26, 17 still knife him. I think Hakeem Jeffries instructs his number two, Representative Clark, get up, nominate me, but say that I have instructed X number of Democrats that they may vote for Mr. Emmer if they choose. And 20 of them vote for him. He has 220 votes and he is Speaker. It ain't great, but if we don't, you're going to have these Matt Gaetzes, these Trump fascists continuing to block. And by the way, there has to be a companion motion to raise the limit from one person can vacate to 33 or 25% of the House. That's my view of it. I think the time has come. And maybe what Hakeem Jeffries wants to do is ask Nancy Pelosi, because of her stature, to huddle with Emmert and just so do it that way. But he's got to get the votes, because if he doesn't get it, they will block anyone until it's a Trump person. And we can't have that. Joe, thanks for calling. Mark from the SAC, my friend. You're next. What's in your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, as I pointed out before, I think that the congressional duty here is mentioned in the preamble to ensure the domestic tranquility. And to me, that means continuation of our government and continuation of paying our bills and you know, guaranteeing us to be a stable society, that and it's just Republicans don't care about that. I mean, it seems like that so many of them have do not think that we're actually a union of states. Rather, they think that we're, you know, as put in the Confederate Constitution, independent and sovereign. You know, states each acting in its own sovereign, what to sovereign and independent character, rather than a union of states that are working in union to have a better country. I mean, these guys simply do not believe in the Constitution. I mean, Donald Trump certainly does not, and these guys have selected Donald Trump as their idol, and that and they, you know, they bow at the altar of Trump. And Trump certainly cares about nobody but himself. I mean, that, and he's proven that through his entire life. And that these people need to be reminded of their duty is to support the Constitution, preserve, and protect the Constitution of the United States.
Right,
and they
right.
certainly aren't doing that.
Right. Well, here's the thing: when you knife a proposed speaker because he funds the government, votes to certify whoever won the election, and votes to increase our debt limit so we're not default on our treasuries, and that's your reason not to vote for him, you have surrendered any regard, in my eyes and anybody's eyes, that you're even an American. Forget whether you're a patriot or not, whether you even care about the country. And that is what they're doing. And I'm going to say something to any of my listeners, and I'm sure there are a number of them who are independents and possibly Republicans. The anti-military, the sadistic anti-military ethos of the Republican Party, when everybody thinks of Eisenhower and Reagan, it's exactly the opposite. Donald Trump was a draft dodger during the Vietnam, said he had bone spurs, it was a fake. His doctor said it was a fake. He hung around the nightclubs in New York while other people were going to Vietnam. But more importantly, he has described people in the military as suckers and losers. He went with John Kelly, his chief of staff, who's a four-star Marine general, who lost a son in combat in Afghanistan. His son was killed, buried at Arlington. And Trump and Kelly went to Arlington, and Trump looked down and he said, "What was in it for them?" This is to a guy who's his chief of staff, whose son was buried because he was shot in combat. Trump is sadistic. Trump is the one that said that he didn't like guys who were captured. When you have John McCain, the war hero, let's revisit how he was captured. He was in a plane over North Vietnam and he was shot down. And he was unconscious. Should have died in the crash. I mean, he just crashed in the jungle lying there. And the Viet Cong, Victor Charlie, caught him. They got him. Took him to the Hanoi Hilton where they tortured him. How is it, you know, somehow complicitly, quote, being captured when you're unconscious with broken bones in a jungle path? You tell me. The clown Tuberville, another chicken hawk who's never served, will not promote admirals and generals. The new Republican Party has the name in name only. It's anti-military, it's treasonous, it's sadistic. That is what it is. And where they're going to cut off funding for our troops by November 17 to cause chaos when our troops are facing combat in the Middle East. Frankly, I think these people should be thrown out of the country, and I'm talking about the Republicans in Congress. Bill of Economowoc, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Can't agree with you more. What really just boggles my mind, maybe you can explain it. It's already been established by the January 6th Commission and two Republicans that there was an insurrection. We know that. That's not, they can't comprehend even the word, let alone understand what it means. They also can't comprehend our Constitution, because if they had respect for our government or the Constitution, they would have resigned, because if you read it, they are now unable to perform their duties based on our laws. My point is, they've had how many, over 300 people have gone to jail. So we've established their line of lack of credibility, and yet we still deal with these people. These goofballs that follow Trump call him President Trump. He is no longer President Trump. He will never be President Trump. I just don't understand why somebody, why one of the Republicans doesn't stand up for the true Republican Party, what it's supposed to be. It's time to call on the Republicans that are left and say, stand up, throw these guys out, tell them they're nullified. We don't have to deal with them anymore. There's no reason we got to wait for the voters, I don't believe. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, excellent comments. And I saw an interview with Adam Kinzinger today. Boy, I have a lot of respect for him and for Liz Cheney. And these are conservative Republicans, but in the old school, they're honest. They're patriots. They support our military. And for those of you out there who are Republicans, this Trump party stole your name. This is not the old Republican Party. This is not the party of Eisenhower at all, or Reagan. This is a party that laughs at the military, laughs at people that make the ultimate sacrifice, says they're suckers or losers. What's in it for them? Draft dodgers, thieves, by and large. Yes, there are some who served in Afghanistan and Iraq. I have a lot of respect for their service too. But when they turn around, support Trump, support a guy who trashes the military, they lose my respect entirely. Entirely. Thanks for calling, Bill. Great call. A couple of updates from the Middle East. Hamas freed two more hostages, and now there are negotiations for the release of, quote, a large number, end quote. One of the things you have to be aware of, this is a tactic of Hamas. It's a tactic of sadism. It's a tactic of giving hope to people who, when they're just going to end up killing people anyway. Do you know that there is one family that had three children kidnapped? A 3-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 12-year-old. Now you think about that. A 3-year-old boy in a tunnel with sadists, all by himself, without his mother, without his father, without a teacher, nobody. Maybe they even separated the three of them. The terror. Hamas is about sadism. ISIS is about sadism. Al-Qaeda was about sadism. We destroyed them. And Al-Shabaab is about sadism. And I was very glad to see my good friend and a great fellow host, Todd Allboat, talk about this so directly in the last hour. And everything that has to be done should be done to exterminate Hamas once and for all. We're going to the lines. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling. Jack, what's in your mind today?
Yeah, you made a comment a few minutes ago about this is not the Republican Party of Eisenhower or Reagan. Of course it's not. This current Republican Party, hypocrisy is their stock and trade. And what surprises me is not so much that the acolytes or that the people that blindly vote Republican because their daddy did and their granddaddy did.
Jack, hold on. We have to go to a break, but I want to keep talking with you. You hang on, stay on, and then Anya, put Jack on right after the break. The lines are open, and we'll talk then, Jack. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. It's getting better all the time.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the...
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council. My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers, even a thunderstorm in the overnight. We'll see plenty of clouds, 54 degrees by daybreak. South winds developing. Some of the rain will be locally heavy. Early showers for Wednesday will give way to mostly cloudy skies, north winds, and a high of 61. Right now, it's 55.
Welcome back. Hello. To Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go right back to the lines. Jack Merrimack, my friend, thanks for calling. I had to interrupt you for a break. Please keep talking.
Okay, thank you. So hypocrisy is no stranger to the current Republican Party, nor to the acolytes, and even those that just blindly vote for anybody with an R after their name because their daddy and their granddaddy and so on going back yet. What astonishes me is two things. First of all, from what I've read, a lot of Republicans don't even know about this situation in the House where they can't even choose a speaker, and it's been over 2 weeks. Much less what Tuberville is pulling, which I would say borders on sedition or treason in the Senate. And you've got apparently a lot of independents who don't even know what's going on, because it appears that Trump and Biden are very close in every poll that I've seen so far in terms of candidacy for the presidency. That boggles my mind totally. I cannot imagine how anyone could be ignorant of the, I guess I can't use that word on the air, but the situation, let's just call it, in the House and what some of these Republicans are pulling. How can so-called nonpartisan or independent voters, how can they be ignorant of something like this? And if they're not, how can they even consider voting for somebody like Trump or any of these Republicans? Not one of them is trustworthy. None of them has rejected the January 6th insurrections, and there were two of them. One was a violent one. One was an attempt at a political one. To be ignorant of this stuff is, in my opinion, almost impossible.
Right. No, that's a good point. And this puzzled me as well. Here's what I think. And remember a couple of things. Right now, today is October 24. The election is, well, a little over a year from now, a year and a couple of weeks from now. Polls that are a year out frequently aren't worth the paper they're written on. They're based on name recognition. And all these polls that show that Biden and Trump are tied are basically, these are the two best known people in the country. You know, one was president, one is president. Number one. Number two, the reason Trump is so low is because a lot of people do know. I mean, his unfavorables are something like 10 points or more higher than his favorables. There are plenty of people that know about him. And yes, you're right. They're the some that will vote for him just because he has an R at the end of his name. But some of them are deeply disturbed. It does not surprise me that as the incumbent president who has to make the tough decisions about Iran, about the Gaza situation, about China, about Russia, about Ukraine, about inflation, everything is on Joe Biden's plate. There is no president I can remember who, as he was about to get reelected, suddenly was at 60% or something. They always get smeared with all the problems. So right now, I'm reasonably confident that Joe Biden will beat Donald Trump, assuming Donald Trump isn't in prison. But that said, I want to commend to the listeners out there who are Republicans or just moderate independents, pay very close attention to this. We are not going to have a Speaker of the House because of Trump's veto, because of the small majority margin, unless the Democrats join in. And the Democrats so far have been rejected by the Republicans, who don't want to somehow be seen as complicit, some weird thing. These people are sick. It's a sick party. It cannot be permitted to have the presidency. Trump said he'll pull us out of NATO. He will surrender Eastern Europe, surrender Ukraine. He will destroy our democracy. Next time, he will impound voting machines, which he tried to do this time, impound them if his people lose an election. We are in an election in Berlin in 1932, as far as our democracy is concerned. Jack, thanks for calling. Bob of Waukesha, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bob. What's in your mind today?
Yeah, Matt, can you tell me, now, I think what's going on in Georgia is they're prosecuting the slate of false electors. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why in Wisconsin aren't we doing it?
Good question. And let me respond. First of all, Jenna Ellis, who is another one of his lawyers, pled guilty today. She's the fourth one to take a dive. The third lawyer, Sidney Powell, is Ken Chesbro, the other two. She's in Kraken. And then Jenna Ellis. And Fannie Willis is doing a superb job. But it's even more remarkable what you just said when you consider the following. One of the allegations against Ken Chesbro in Atlanta was that he met with the then chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party, not in Georgia at all, and urged him to keep our fake elector, the Wisconsin fake elector meeting, secret. And he said Rudy Giuliani had told him to do that, and he agreed. And it was kept secret. Voss secretly signed them up for a room. Robin Voss signed them up for a room. It wasn't put on the marquee in the wherever they normally post who's in that room for what reason. They were told not to tell anybody. This is being prosecuted in Atlanta, Georgia. The fake electors in Wisconsin absolutely could be and could have been prosecuted, all 10 of them. Ron Johnson could have been prosecuted, and he still could be. He had the fake electors in his pocket, told his chief of staff to try to get him to Pence to turn the election. Ron Johnson. Robin Voss set up the room. That's a piece of the conspiracy. Fitzgerald, the congressman at the time, was a state senator. There were allegations, it would take a grand jury to determine the truthfulness of them or not, that he was in on recommending the room. If we had an aggressive posture in Wisconsin, you'd have the 10 fake electors, Ron Johnson, Robin Voss, and Congressman Fitzgerald all prosecuted. It would do a great deal of help. It would be a great deal of help for Jack Smith. That is not happening. That's something the Attorney General is going to have to respond to. But in Michigan, Attorney General Nessel, the Democrat, is prosecuting. And Jack Smith is prosecuting Trump. These people could be prosecuted as part of a conspiracy in any of these states. Fannie Willis is the gutsiest. I mean, she's prosecuting people who did stuff that wasn't even in Georgia. Dana Nessel over in Michigan is prosecuting folks who did it in Michigan. But yeah, I agree. They should be prosecuted, Bob. That's all I can say. Can't say anything beyond that. Thank you so much for calling. We're coming to the end of the, well, not the end of the first hour, not the end of the show. There's a 2-hour show now. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. There'll be a lot more after this break.
The ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet. When hearts like ours meet. I fell for you like a child.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself.
We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.